Hey, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you this morning, okay? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, we've been in Matthew chapter 28 the entire time of this foundation series, and we're still going to, I want you to remember back to Matthew 28. We've read it now for at least 6 or 7 weeks, and so you should be able to quote it with us, okay? So remember that. Remember, we're here today because Jesus died on a cross, was buried, rose again the third day, and his last words to the church, his last mandate, his last command was to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, we have been in this series called Foundations, and we have talked about evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, missions for 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks, we talked about missions locally, missions internationally. I'm really excited about what God is doing in your hearts about missions and about making sure that we are not comfortable down here. Now, let me just go ahead and say this, and I want to welcome 1031. They will be watching this by video, and my prayer this morning, I have prayed that God would just make this video crystal clear and that he could speak to you. And if you're in that room, need to make a decision for Christ, you would do so. We welcome you guys. But here's what I want you to know. There's kind of a thought that is going around in our culture today that talks about, and there was a thought that was brought up this past week at a conference that me and the staff went to, and he was talking about some of these songs, like the good old gospel ship. It's an old song many of you probably know, the good old gospel ship. And then he likened it to a more contemporary song today, and it's by Building 429, and it talks about, take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. And so the mindset, the thought process is, hey guys, this is not my home. I belong in heaven. And this guy took an approach, and I'm not saying that he's wrong, okay? But he took the approach that those songs, it gives the idea that we're just kind of treading water down here when we're really thinking about heaven, and then so therefore we kind of are not intentional on this earth. Let me say this. If I could have gotten the floor, which I couldn't, but I do now, so I'm going to talk, okay? Here's what I would say. If you ever truly get an understanding of what is waiting on us in heaven, if you can ever truly get your mind on that city, it'll help you down here. And I tell you what it'll do. It'll make you a little bit more intentional about making sure that everybody you meet hopefully will hear about that city and hear about that, hey, listen to this, the king of that city, the light of that city, and who can shine into their dark hearts. It'll help you down here. It'll help you, dear friends, when I'm back there talking to two men who have lost their daughters and who are having some hard days right now thinking about the anniversary of their daughters who were killed. It'll help you to know, that, listen to me, that this world is not our home. It'll help you to know that there is a place far beyond the blue where we can go to heaven one day and not only see Jesus, but see our loved ones who are in heaven. It'll help you not get so attached down here where everything will be destroyed one day. That's why you send your treasure on up there where nothing can get to it. Nothing can get to it. So whoever that was for, God bless you. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're moving now into our last foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is our foundation. And upon that foundation, we've been building upon these different floors, if you want to say. And this one, I wanted to save this one for the last because I really do believe that this one here is the most important. Because if you get all the rest of them correct and you don't do this one right, then folks, all the rest of them won't go right. But if you get this one correct, worship. Worship. What does it mean? What does it mean to worship? And so what I wanted to do was take a different approach to this word worship. you know, normally we would get in here and we'll say, well, we're going to preach on worship, and we'll talk about music styles, or we'll talk about different things like that. We're not going to talk about that. Let me tell you why. I want today to talk to you about your personal worship and how we have been invited, we've been invited by God to worship Him. And what does that mean to you individually? What does it mean to me individually? Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting, building up one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Heavenly Father, please speak in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Worship. Worship. What does it mean? What does it mean? In this passage that we're looking at, in this passage in Hebrews, we see the association of two phrases, having and let us. Having, present tense, and let us, now. Having and let us. Because we possess these privileges, we ought to be enjoying and using these privileges. Did you hear that? Because we possess the privilege of worship, we ought to be using that privilege to worship. Every single moment, the believer today has an access to God far greater than anything allowed by Old Testament rituals. Therefore, we need to take advantage of that. And so please listen to this point right here. The writer in Hebrews is not so much attempting to enlighten their minds in important doctrinal issues as he is attempting to use those doctrines to move their wills to obedience to the truth. Let me watch this. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. I want a new word. I want a new truth. I want a new word. I want a new truth. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. Hey, listen. God spoke in 66 books. That's all you need. That's all the truth you need. And so let me tell you what we want to do. This is going to be so elementary, it's unbelievable. Let me tell you what I want to do. I, along with the writer of Hebrews, I'm not going to try to show you some new doctrinal truth. No, you know the doctrine of worship. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to break it down, and we're going to try to show you how to be obedient to that truth. Be obedient to that truth, okay? Because it calls for a response. Because of what Jesus did for us, it calls for a response. Now, so I'm preparing this message, you know, back when we did the foundations, when I decided we were going to do foundations, I'm preparing this message. I prepared it for one sermon. And listen, I could preach it. If I could go to 12, I could preach it. Okay? So therefore, we're not going to do it. So it's going to take 3 weeks to unpack this, okay? 3 weeks to unpack this. But I promise you, by the time we're through, you're going to know Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. So the very first thing, the whole theme of today will be this. Don't miss number one. The invitation to worship. There's an invitation to worship. God gives us an invitation to worship. There's two phrases again that I want you to see. In verse 19, he says, enter the holiest. In verse 22, let us draw near. Enter the holiest and let us draw near. That's the invitation to worship. Now, you know what the word worship means. It comes from an old word, worth-ship. In other words, it involves attributing worth to God. So because God is worthy, we worship Him. The Hebrew word means to bow down or to prostrate oneself. The act of bowing is intended to reflect one's acknowledgement of God's worth. We know this. We sing songs about this. God alone is the only one who is worthy of our worship. We know that. We know that. We know that. But do our lives back that up? Okay? So the invitation to worship, the invitation involves three different things, okay? Number one, the access to the one to be worshiped. The access to the one to be worshiped. Again, verse 19. Therefore, brethren. Now, Pastor Hosea has probably told you this a million times. Let me remind you. Anytime you see the word therefore, you got to ask what's therefore, therefore. Okay? What is that therefore? Therefore. And so notice what it does. So when he says therefore, here's all he's doing. He is literally reminding us that verses 11 through 18, that God makes known that Christ's death perfects the sanctified. In other words, Jesus' death perfects the sanctified. Now, who are the sanctified? It's us. You're the sanctified. The sanctified are those who have been set aside by God. They've been set aside. They've been marked holy. They've been called out. Ecclesia, that's the church. They've been called out for himself. Dear friends, listen to me. You've got to get this. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and what Jesus did into my life, I have been called out for the express purpose to worship God. He placed his spirit in me to draw me to himself to worship him. So I've got access. What does this access mean? Well, notice the place of entrance. The place of entrance. He says there in verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. The holiest. Now, the holiest there refers to the Holy of Holies. What was the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? The Holy of Holies was the place where God dwelled. The place where God dwelled. In other words, you all know this. There was the courtyard that the Jews could go. There was the holy place where the priests could go. But separating the holy place and the Holy of Holies was a huge thick veil, was a big thick veil. Only one person, one time a year, could go into the Holy of Holies. That was the high priest. And the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and make sure he had to get right with himself, with God by himself. He had to make sure he was right. And then when he went into the Holy of Holies, where God dwelled, he made a sacrifice, atonement, for the people of that day. Now, notice this. That sacrifice that he made would only cover their sins. Listen, dear friends, that sacrifice could never cleanse their conscience. He had to come back every year, once a year on the day of Yom Kippur. He had to go in once a year, the Day of Atonement. It could cover their sins, but it can never cleanse their sins. Can I give you a sneak preview of next week? Praise God, my sins are not only covered, they're cleansed. You see, we live in a day and age today where people say, well, let's just cover it up. Well, it's still under there. My dear friends, my sins aren't under there anymore. My sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Simple, simple Bible teaching. It's right there. Once a year. Once a year. But now, don't miss this, but now, because of what Jesus did at Calvary, 24/7, I have access to God. I can go to him this morning like I did. I can go to him on that pew as they were singing that song and praying for them, but also praying for you. I can go to him this afternoon. I can go to him tonight. I can wake up in the middle of the night and pray for him. Why? Because I have access. Because I have access to Almighty God. Man's sin and imperfection made him unacceptable to God. And so the very veil that was there between the holy place and the Holy of Holies reminded man of his imperfection and sin. You see, the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies symbolized that man was cut off from God. Somebody came up to me last week after I preached on missions, and they asked me this question. They said, you made the statement that the innocent man in Africa if he died, would go to heaven. But then you said, but there's no such thing as an innocent man in Africa. And I said, that's right, because the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said, so you mean to tell me that you think that everybody is lost apart from God? I said, hey, listen, dear friends, I really do believe that everybody that is apart from God is cut off from God. That's why we've got to be on mission. That's why we've got to be intentional about sharing the gospel everywhere we go, because everybody in Springfield, Missouri, to the deep jungles of Africa is cut off from God except from the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to say this. Let's notice this. Let's just break down every word. Therefore, brethren, having boldness. Having boldness. Now, the word having there reminds us of our present possession. You see, we as Christians are so apt to associate our Christian lives in the past, what we had, or in the future, what we will have. And so often we forget the great privilege of having access now. Hey, it's great to think about what awaits me in glory. But can I tell you something? I've got Jesus living inside of me. I've got present access to the throne room of God right now. Man, don't miss that. Don't miss that. Having boldness. Boldness. It speaks of freedom of speech. How many times have you ever heard this? Boy, I just wish I could tell God. Can I just be very honest with you? If you're a Christian, you can tell God anything you want to. And there's nothing you're going to say that he doesn't already know that you're going to say in your heart. It speaks of freedom of speech. It speaks of courage, having boldness. I've got the freedom of speech to go with courage. But it also speaks of conversation. In other words, I not only talk to him. Come on, guys. He talks to me. He talks to me. So there's this place of entrance, the holiest. I can go there now. But there's also the provision of entrance. Why can I go there? Listen, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, because Jesus spilled his blood on Calvary's cross, we can approach God by virtue of the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ. You see, this verse, I'm telling you, it is the greatest verse that combats religious pluralism of our day. Let me tell you what Deuce and Asher and Anley and some of your grandkids and kids, let me tell you what they're going to face. Religious pluralism, which says all roads lead to Jesus. All roads lead to God. Can I just tell you real quick what Adrian Rogers said? All roads do lead to God, but only Jesus leads to heaven. You see, all roads lead to God because everybody's going to stand before God one day, either as judge or Lord. And in this day, when nobody else will say it, somebody needs to stand up and be dogmatic. And in honor of my Bulldogs from yesterday, be bulldogmatic. There is no other way to go into heaven. No other way, dear friends. No other way. Than Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. That means your sweet grandmother, your sweet grandfather, your mama, your daddy, your boy, your daughter. It doesn't matter if they are going on church membership, baptism, or any other thing, your coattails. They will not end up in heaven, because the only way to get to heaven, dear friends, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is it. That is it. Now let your applause turn into action when you leave here. If your amens and applause are not going to translate into action out there and start literally living that truth, then you don't get credit for worship in here. I love y'all. Jesus, through his blood, satisfied God's justice on our behalf. Satisfied. What do you mean, Pastor? He paid a high price. Oh, he paid such a high price for us. He satisfied God's wrath. He was perfect sacrifice. He satisfied it. How dare me not to use this privilege of worshiping him? Romans 5:2. Listen to what Romans 5:2 says. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, you've all heard this a million times. The greatest definition for justified is it's justified, never sin. When I stand before Jesus right now, it's justified, never sin. Justified. That's the single greatest definition of justification. Jesus looks at, can I tell you something to make you throw your fork at lunch today? You'll be thinking about this statement. Are y'all listening? God looks at me the same way he looks at his son Jesus. Because I'm covered in his blood. I'm clothed in his righteousness. His righteousness. And so when God looks at me, it's as if he's looking at his own son Jesus. That'll help some of you that are suffering from depression. That'll help some of you that are suffering with low self-esteem to realize, dear friends, that listen to me, you are special in God's eyes. You are justified if you've been saved. But he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Hey, this is a thought I hardly ever have, and this is not original. I promise you I read it somewhere, but listen to this. Jesus was the high priest, and remember, so the high priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice. Only the high priest. Jesus was our high priest who offered the sacrifice. But Jesus was the sacrifice offered by the high priest. Now, don't ask me to explain that. But that's good. Hey, think of that. He was the high priest that offered the sacrifice, but he's the sacrifice offered by the high priest. He's the judge on the throne that disrobes and comes down and becomes the victim that's being judged. He who knew no sin became sin for you and me, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. If anything today, I hope this message will stir you to want to worship Jesus more for what he has done for us. So that's the access to the one to be worshipped. Number two, there's the approach of the one to be worshipped. The approach of the one to be worshipped. Listen to what it says in back in Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 10, verse 20. All right, so the access is... Therefore having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. But how do we do that? All right, here we go. By a new and living way. A new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. That is his flesh. So he likens the veil that separated the Holy of Holies to the common people. It was his flesh. And so let's just break that down. So he says, by a new and living way. Now that word new there literally means freshly slaughtered. Freshly slaughtered. So notice again. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a freshly slaughtered way. Martin Luther said this about this verse. It seems but yesterday that Jesus died on the cross. Here's what we tend to do. 10:31, here's what we tend to do. Watch this. Here's what we tend to do. Well, I know Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Oh, can I tell you what I wrote down, what this verse means to me? It never grows old. It never grows old. I've been saved for 17 years. I started preaching about a year and a half after that, just at several churches. I didn't start pastoring until almost 3 years after that. So for about 15 years of my life, I could get Pastor Hosey down here, and he could even shuck the corn better than I could on this point, okay? He's been doing it for many more years than I have, 35 plus years that he's been doing it. You would think, dear friends, you would think that we would hear this story. Many of you have been teaching or speaking on behalf of God many more years than I have. So you would think that this old story would get stale. It would get old. It would get boring. I mean, come on, we're reading the same old things. But do you know why it doesn't? Because it's fresh. It's fresh. I mean, it's as if he died on the cross this morning, was buried right now, and tonight he's coming back. That's fresh. It is literally fresh. It's like he just died today It's fresh. I had a seminary professor, and he was making fun of the rapture and making fun of me, really. When I first entered seminary, all I preached from was from the King James. The church that I was from, that was all that they had. And so that's, well, when I went to seminary, nobody in seminary had a King James other than me. So guess what they nicknamed me? King Jimmy. That's what they nicknamed me, King Jimmy. But also, I was kind of standing alone by myself because I was one of the only ones that believed that one day the trumpet was going to sound, as she was just singing about, and Jesus was going to descend and the church was going to be raptured out of here. So I had this professor, and he would pick on me. He would pick on me and say, King Jimmy, you and that rapture crowd and all that. But then he made some statements about this, and that's okay, dear friends. Listen to me. That's okay. Hey, if I'm wrong and there's no rapture, God's going to give me the grace to make it through whatever it is down here. But if I'm right, all the way up, I'm going to tell that professor, told you I was right. But watch. And so he'd make fun. And he made a statement one time. He's no longer teaching. He was at an adjunct, so he was at an extension. And he was talking about the blood of Jesus. And almost like Jesus didn't have to shed his blood, that if he'd have just died. And I remember thinking, I'd just go, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilt and stains. That's my only solo, and I'll never sing again. But they say, hey, listen to me, dear friends. That's what he's talking about, though. It's that, listen, it's that flood. It's that blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And I started thinking about this. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood should never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The approach, it's fresh. It's fresh. Hebrews 8, listen to this. Hebrews 8, verse 12 says this. Hebrews 8, verse 12. He says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. And in that, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing is ready to vanish away. You see, here's what he's saying. The old way where the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, the old way could only cover your sins once a year. But this new way, this freshly slaughtered way, it's just like he died yesterday. Somebody asked me one time, they said, you really do think that a man that died 2,000 years ago has significance today? Oh, haven't you heard, dear friends? It's just like he died yesterday. Listen to me. It is fresh. It never loses its power. And if he tarries his coming for 1,000 years and we live to see 3,015, it is fresh. Nobody will ever get to heaven except through that freshly slaughtered Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it's fresh. He says it's a new way, but he says it's a living way. It's a living way. Notice your Bibles. He says, by a new and living way. Living way. In other words, it's no longer a dead sacrificial animal, but it's the living Lord Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always liveth to make intercession for them. Keep that verse up there. 10:31, Hebrews 7, 25. Look at that again. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. Dear friends, listen to me. It blesses my heart to know there are people in the prayer room right now praying for me, and they're praying for you. They're praying that if you've never been saved, that you would understand this freshly slaughtered Son of God wants you to get under that fountain that is flowing freely, and then anybody can come to it. But he's praying. Jesus is praying for you, and he's praying for me. And it says that this new and living way, which he consecrated, the word consecrated means inaugurated or dedicated. He inaugurated it. He dedicated it. In other words, he came up with a new way. Why does he need to come up with a new way? Why would Jesus have to come up with a new way? Because, dear friends, listen, we were cut off from God. We were cut off from God. You see, you can't even go into the presence of God to pray without Jesus. You can't even go into the presence of God and live without Jesus. Oftentimes people come out and they say, do you think God hears the prayers of lost people? How can He? Are y'all listening? Everybody draw in right here. There's no access to God except through Jesus. And so you cannot pray to God without going through Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. It's Jesus. You can't go around Him. You can't pray to God without Him. And you can't make it to heaven without Jesus. Hebrews 6:19 says this. Hey, this is good stuff. I'm not saying my sermon. This is good, practical Bible stuff. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Where the forerunner, he's gone ahead, he's a trailblazer, has entered for us, even Jesus. Through the veil. Through the veil, that is His flesh. I know many of you know this, and if you haven't heard it, then I pray it'll be a blessing to you. That veil that He's talking about, it separated God from man. Only one person a year could go in it. Nobody could go into the presence of God except the high priest. Now, I've read several studies that said the high priest, watch this, the high priest had to get cleansed himself, so he had to make sure he was right with God. And many conservative theologians say they would tie a rope around him with bales. They would put bales on him. And he would go through the holy place where the priest would be. But anytime the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, they expected the presence of God to come down. The Shekinah glory of God would come down. So the priest would have to go out into the courtyard. And so here they are. Here's the high priest. He enters in that thick veil. He goes into where the mercy seat is. He's in the very presence of God, making a sacrificial sacrifice on behalf of those people. Now watch. Here they are, way over here with a rope. Because if they don't hear them bells jingling, He dead. They can't go in there to get Him. So they have to pull Him out. In other words, don't miss this. You say, man, that sounds so complicated. Yeah. It seems like everything in the Old Testament, when it comes to the presence of God, says, stay back. Stay back. I feel like playing a tune. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because Jesus died and shed His blood for you and for me today at this invitation, had Jesus not died, I would give an invitation like this. Listen, dear friends, there's God, but you can't get to Him because you're not a high priest. Oh, but because there's Easter Sunday and God accepted His sacrifice, this morning I'm going to give an invitation that says, come on, draw near. He's able to save to the blooming uttermost. Because of Jesus. Let me tell you how relevant this is. Travis and Tammy, who are missionaries to Nicaragua. Last week, Travis is here. He never takes notes. Never takes notes. He begins to take notes because he said, when you said that we have the greatest story anyone could ever hear, and then you read the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all remember that? We read the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 2. He said, man, I started writing that stuff down. And Tammy even said, Tammy, she was trying to record. She was like taking pictures and trying to record. She normally takes notes. She didn't take notes. So she looks at Travis and she says, why is he taking notes? Which kind of offended me. But anyway, she looks at Travis. She says, why is he taking notes? He wondered, why am I taking notes? Until that afternoon, his son, Slayton, was staying with his sister, who's 10 years younger than him, lost. She's lost. He got under conviction to take notes and to give every one of his notes to his sister. He gave his notes to his sister.
He said, I'm begging you, please read these notes and read Ephesians chapter 2. 2 hours later, she calls him crying her eyes out and says, I read it. He led her to Jesus over the phone. You know why? Because it's fresh. We have a freshly slaughtered Savior that can save anybody today that comes to Him. Can I tell you something? The Mormons can't preach this message. The Muslim can't preach this message. The Jehovah's Witness can't preach this message. And there's a lot of other denominations around here that are adding to this message of grace. If you add anything to grace, it doesn't make it grace. Dear friends, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Matthew 27:51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. You know why it talks about from top to bottom? Because if it was from the bottom to the top, every one of us would go and say, let me tell you what I did. I grabbed that old veil and rent my way up to the top. Nah, you can't do that because it's nothing you do. It's all what He did. You want some theology this morning? Here's deep, deep theology. Here you go. Here you go, guys. In the Old Testament, the veil was the only way into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the only way to the presence of God was through the veil. In the New Testament, Jesus is the only way to God. Do you know what that just tells me right off the bat? That veil was Jesus. That veil was Jesus. The rent veil means, the rent body means, the torn body means, Christ bore the sins and guilt and judgment for us. Thank you, Jesus. Christ frees man from sin and judgment by His rent body. Thank you, Jesus. Christ has opened up a way for man to enter God's presence. Thank you, Jesus. The veil is that which hid him instead of revealing Him. But do you remember? He was born in a little manger, clothed in skin, so His glory was hidden. But when He died on Calvary's cross, He took God's hand, took man's hand, and He connected them through the cross. Through the cross. Lastly, and we're done. The arrangements made. We have access. We have access to God. And we have the approach, but now the arrangements. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. What are the arrangements? Listen, what are the arrangements? He's the high priest. Let me tell you what the priest did. The high priest could show the way, but they could never take you in there. The high priest could stand there and he could say, hey, there's how you get to God, but you can't go. I'm the only one that can go. But we have a high priest over the house of God. Who's the house of God? That's the ecclesia. That's the church. That's you and that's me. When I was at First Baptist Tupelo, there was a young man that came and spoke to our students. And he came into church and he had a hat on. And he wasn't being disrespectful, but that was his culture. And he just, at the church he came from, they wore hats. They didn't have to take their hat off inside. And one of my very godly men went up to him and said, excuse me, sir, could you take your hat off in the house of God? He said, I don't mean any disrespect, but this hat is on the house of God. You know what's incredible? Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Pastor Travis, go ahead and come on up. Wait 10:31 before you disconnect. You wait. There's a lot of us in this room. We're more concerned on what happens in this house than this house. There's a lot of us that get a lot. We get ticked off a little bit. We'll get our feathers ruffled if something happens in this house when God's more concerned about what happens in this house. He not only showed the way. You know what Jesus did as the high priest? He said, I not only want you to come with me. I'm not only going to show you the way. I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you with me to the presence of God. This is the invitation. This is the invitation. If you've never been saved, you're still separated from God. You're still cut off. And it makes no sense. I can imagine it makes no sense to God. It makes no sense to God. Why you wouldn't just accept His invitation to come? Come. Draw near by the blood of Jesus. If you've never had it applied to your life, there's going to be people up in the balcony. There's going to be someone down at every aisle. If you want to know how to be saved, I'm begging you, please come to one of us. If you need to join this church, you need to come for baptism, or maybe God is just telling you to come to this altar to pour out to Him and say, God, I haven't been worshiping You the way I need to. I've got to get right with Him. But the invitation is come. Father, have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand, You come right now.